What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
The Center for Constitutional Rights is suing the Trump administration for access to records about the deadly so-called Aid Foundation, the Gaza Health Foundation. We're joined by Catherine Gallagher, a senior staff attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights, where she represents victims in holding government officials, corporations, and private military contractors accountable for serious international human rights abuses. The CCR filed a lawsuit seeking records from the Trump administration on its funding for the private U.S.-Israeli outfit currently in charge of distributing aid to Palestinians. Aid. Y'all can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes, aid to Palestinians in Gaza. Catherine, you're on my run sheet as Katie. Which do you want? How should I address you?
Either is fine. Thank you very much.
All right. My mother was Kathleen, and if you called her Kat or Katie, it was a problem, so I always check.
My mother was Kathleen, too.
Oh, wow. All right. Katie, for listeners that may not have been following my show or some of the headlines around this, what is the Gaza Health Foundation, GHF?
Sure. So thank you so much. And it's really a great honor to be with you today. So I'm going to speak a bit about what it's actually the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. So that's GHF. And we refer to it as sort of the GHF Enterprise, because GHF is working on the ground in Gaza with two private military contractors, at least, that I think it's important to name and understand. There is UG Solutions, which is providing armed contractors at the GHF distribution sites in Gaza, and then SRS, or Safe Reach Solutions, which is providing logistics support. So when I speak about GHF, it's all three of those. But actually, before I get into the specifics of what GHF is doing, I think it's really important to recognize why we're even talking about that. And that is the 23-month-long military assault by Israel and genocidal campaign against the Palestinian population in Gaza. Over these many, many months, as we have all watched and bore witness to these horrors, 65,000 Palestinians have been killed that are recorded. We don't know how many more have been killed. Essentially, the entire population has been displaced across the Gaza Strip again and again. The civilian infrastructure in Gaza has been largely destroyed. That includes homes and schools and universities and medical centers, cultural centers, religious institutions. So Gaza is in the state of genocide at this point. A touchstone of this genocidal campaign, as announced already on October 9th, 2023, by then Minister of Defense, Israeli Minister of Defense Yoav Gallant, was a total siege on the Palestinian population in Gaza. On that date, he declared that there would be no food, no fuel, no electricity made available to the Palestinian population, that there would be a total siege. And what we have seen over nearly 2 years now is those words have been carried out in action. So as of today, there is declared famine in Gaza. But even before that formal declaration recently, there has been a campaign of starvation. And this is illegal and unlawful under international law. We have had rulings from the International Court of Justice already in January 2024 that there is a plausible genocide in Gaza. The ICJ followed up with two sets of provisional measures in May and March of 2024, including in response to the campaign of starvation. The International Criminal Court has issued arrest warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu and former Prime Minister Gallant for crimes against humanity and war crimes, including the war crime of intentional starvation as a method of war. And even in California there, a federal judge in the case of Defense for Children International Palestine v. Biden had found at the end of January 2024 that there was a plausible genocide to which the U.S. was giving, quote, unflagging support. And I name all of these legal precedents because I think it's extremely important to understand that anyone at this point who is going to work with Israel is doing so at great legal risk. Because there is already sufficient notice by these court rulings and by numerous experts that there is an ongoing genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes being committed against the Palestinian population. That is well documented, and that is, again, in things like arrest warrants, which is a very, very rare thing for a sitting head of state like Benjamin Netanyahu to have an arrest warrant issued against him. Vladimir Putin is the other head of state at this point for whom an arrest warrant is issued. This is not something that the ICC does often. And the ICJ also had declared in July 2024 that the prolonged belligerent occupation of the West Bank, including East Jerusalem and Gaza, is illegal. And it called on all third parties to stop furthering the occupation. So again, I think this leveling off on what is happening now in Gaza and its illegality is critical to understanding the environment into which the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation enterprise entered. And then we have to look at what is GHF. This is not a long-term humanitarian organization, considering we're in a situation of arrest warrants being issued for intentionally starving a population as a tool of war and a declared famine, the denial of basic necessities for life. This Gaza is a human-made humanitarian crisis. It's part and parcel of the genocidal campaign, but there is a humanitarian crisis of the greatest order, and it's happening in the context of a military assault. So this is, for any long-term humanitarian organization, be it the United Nations or groups that we might be more familiar with in the humanitarian space, like Doctors Without Borders or Oxfam or World Food Program, this is already a very, very complex operation. And into it steps this brand new enterprise, GHF. GHF was created precisely to go into Israel and replace the 400 sites operated by the UN to address the famine and the situation of starvation. It was created by the Boston Consulting Group, working with private entrepreneurs from the United States and Israel, former military of the United States and Israeli former military officials. And so it was a creation that was intended to work closely with Israel and Israeli forces in Gaza. It was not created, even though it has humanitarian in its name, under the same sets of principles and with the same values of true humanitarian organizations. It was really created as a partner to Israel's operations. And this has become more and more clear as information has come out over the last number of months about the creation plan. It was really to forcibly transfer Palestinians from the northern parts and the central parts of Gaza right down to where GHF is operating its very few sites, which are right along the Egyptian border. These are militarized aid sites set up in a closed military zone with the Israeli forces operating right outside of the sites, and then those armed guards from UG Solutions operating in the sites. So this is a militarized aid system. Before it began operating, the United Nations warned that this is not how you do humanitarian assistance. The GHF, however, went ahead with its plans and began operating in late May, at a time when the UN was being blocked. So this is a deeply, deeply flawed system from its origin story to its operations. The latest,
I'm sorry. Hey, Catherine, I've got just a couple of minutes with you, and I have to go to my third segment, but I'm not sure if you're aware. We do Palestine Post on the show every Monday, where we spend a full hour on Palestine, countering the narrative out there. So I want to have you back, but in the net, because the detail I think is really important, the way that you're putting it in layman's terms, because a lot of people I talk to on the street are like, I just can't, I don't understand. But the punchline for today is, y'all are suing the Trump administration gave GHF $30 million, and you've asked for records, they ignored you, and now you're suing them, yeah?
Yes, that is correct. And I know I went into some detail and didn't start at the end of the story. And the reason is, when the United States makes the decision to give GHF $30 million, understanding that this is really what has been called a fig leaf of a humanitarian operation, that it is operating counter to humanitarian principles of independence, neutrality, impartiality, and then at its aid site, as of today, the UN was reporting that 2,500 Palestinians have been killed and thousands have been injured, because they are going to seek life-saving food in a militarized site where fire is being opened indiscriminately on aid seekers and people are being killed or injured. Some people are being disappeared, particularly, as has been reported, younger family members, younger boys who are going to get food for the family. So we have serious questions for why it is that, with this backdrop of illegality and then death and destruction and displacement as what is happening in the context of these GHF operations, why is it that the Trump administration decided to give this operation $30 million? And what has been reported is that there were serious questions within the whatever remains of USAID when they vetted the application. The application came through from a brand new organization that doesn't have a track record in humanitarian operations. That's a red flag. There was a bypassing of the proper vetting that would go, especially for a new aid recipient. And within days, rather than the long back and forth from grant proposals, the money ended up being approved. There were many questions that were raised by professional staff within AID, and we want those answers. We want to understand, what kind of vetting process happened? Was this a political decision? And how could it be that a so-called aid operation that has been deadly was deemed the appropriate space to give money, rather than putting pressure where it's needed? And that's to let the United Nations back in to continue to operate, to give life-saving humanitarian assistance to the Palestinian population until we can get what we really need, which is a ceasefire and an end to this genocide.
And the exit of Israel from Palestine, but that's another segment. Katie Gallagher, we are going to have you back. You all are hard to get. You all are doing so much good work. It's hard to get you on the show. Jen Nessel sends me the press releases all the time. But we're going to be tracking this, and I do hope that you'll come back to the show. Where should people go to track the progress?
Yes.
And all the other cases you all are working on.
People can go to ccrjustice.org, and we are now in active litigation on this GHF FOIA. So we will be pushing hard to get information out. This is a critical endeavor to try and get aid back in and to stop this fig leaf of a aid operation.
All right, Katie Gallagher, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fortnox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.